Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Aleph. We begin 4 lines from the top at the new Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Hakash Sha'al Gabi Hamita. If you have straw that's on a bed, now Rashi points out, stoma, plain straw, in the normal default situation, is used as firewood, la soka, it's used for burning purposes. And therefore, on Shabbos, umuktzahu, it's obviously going to be not allowed to be touched, to move, it's muktzah. Now, this person now wants to lie down on the straw and make it into a bed, but it wasn't prepared as such. It was prepared, so to say, as firewood for kindling, and now it wants to use it for sleeping purposes. Ubo lishkovala, Rashi says, umenano, and he's now having to move it, kideshi etzof v'rach lishkov. He wants to move it and to arrange it into a way that he can go sleep on it. So the Mishnah tells us, in this situation, lo yinanenu biyodo. He's not allowed to move it with his hands. You're not allowed to move something that's muktzah directly with your hands. That's called tiltu muktzah. In the midrabbanon, that's also to do. So what should you do? Ella minano begufo. You're allowed to go and move it with your body. Rashi explains, b'ksefa, with your shoulders. The tiltu min hatzadu. And this is an indirect type of emotion, moving it. The lo shmei tiltu. And this is called tiltu min hatzad or tiltu min haguf. Again, the Mefarshim have a whole discussion here. It's differences between tiltu min hatzad technically and tiltu min haguf. We'll leave this aside for now. The bottom line is, you're not doing it directly, and the rabbis never decreed in this situation that you can't do this. So to move it with your body is certainly permissible. However, if this wasn't for kindling, if this straw wasn't set aside for kindling, and therefore it was set aside as animal fodder, that's the other usage of straw. Now, animal fodder is het to gomer, to move on Shabbos to go feed your animals. It's Michael Behema. And therefore, in this situation, or Oshahayolov Karo Sodin, or he already put a pillow or blankets out on top of this bed, on this straw, in order to demonstrate that he's using it as a bed. That's the other possible usage for this straw. It's normally for firewood. That's the stam positions for kindling. However, if you had designated it by wanting to give it to your animal, or you designated it as a bed, it's already a mattress for you. So then, then you can move it with your hand. It's not intrinsically muktzah if you've set it aside for something that is muhad. Nadigmor says, machbesh. What is a machbesh? Rashi tells us that this is shnei luchim aruchim, and this is two boards that are heavy, kvedim, and you set them up, v'sotim begodim ala tachton. You're using it as a pressing type of a tool to press garments. Now, there are private ones and there are professional ones. He was talking about a private one. So the person has this board. He then puts the clothing on top of the board, and then he puts the other heavy board on top of it. Moridin ha'elyon olav v'kov shemes ha'begodim. And you press the clothing, and you do this via pegs. Otherwise, just the weight of the board won't do it, but you have these pegs that you put in at the four corners, and you screw them in, and it tightens the top board on the bottom board, and it presses the clothing. So this machbesh, this press, if it belongs to a private person, it's not a professional one, shobali batim, so then the halach is matirin. If you have clothing in it before Shabbos, and now you want to take the clothing out on Shabbos, you're allowed to loosen up these bolts that put the top board on top of the clothing, on top of the bottom board. So you're allowed to loosen them up, matirin. However, avalo kosher, but you're not allowed to put the clothing in there, lechatchila. That you can't do. Why? Rashi says that is for weekday purposes, and therefore you're allowed to undo it if it's a private one, not a professional one, but you can't go and actually press with it on Shabbos. However, Vishokovsin, the professional ones, lo yigabo, you're not even allowed to go and touch it. Rashi explains, this is specifically made to go and press clothing. It is a professional type of a tool. The tochavo bechazoka, it's much more strong in terms of pressing the clothing. The hatara shlo duma listira, and by taking apart these bolts, it's called taking apart a kli, and you're not allowed to do taking apart a kli, or making a kli, according to this opinion, on Shabbos. Therefore, shokovsin lo yigabo, it's muktzah, and you're not allowed to touch it. Rehuda disagrees. Rehuda omer, im haya mutar me'erev Shabbos, if it was already partially undone, if it had already been the bolts that hold this professional presses top board onto the bottom board, have already been loosened somewhat, so then matiris kulo v'shomto, then you're allowed to undo the rest of it, and take out the clothing from it, because you need those clothing for Shabbos. Now the Gemara starts and says, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman tells us, now we had this Gemara previously, Hai Pugla, if you have a radish. Now radish, the way the radishes are constructed is that normally they are wider at their head, and they're narrower at their tail part of the radish. So this radish, hypugla, so if it's in the ground, you had plucked it before Shabbos. It's not, no, there's no problem here of harvesting. It's already been harvested, but you want to keep it in the ground to keep it nice and cool and to keep it fresh. So you put it into the ground before Shabbos. Now you want to take it out on Shabbos. So the part that's sticking above the ground, if it's milamala lamata, if the wide part, which is the head, is on the top and it tapers down, so then you're allowed to pull it out. Milamala lamata shari, because you're not moving any of the dirt as you take it out, because the widest part is above the ground. When you pull it out, you're not really going to move the dirt. However, if it's the other way around, if the narrow part is sticking up and the heavier, wider part is at the bottom, so then milamata lamala, when you pull it out from the narrow end, the wider end is going to move the dirt, and therefore it's osur. So this opinion clearly holds from Rav Nachman that tiltul min atzad, or you're moving the dirt is muktza, and you're doing it indirectly, yet you're not allowed to do this, according to Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Adda, now the girsa that we have is bar abba, but on the side it brings down that the girsa should be Bar Ahava. We normally have Rav Adda Bar Ahava throughout Shas. In any event, Rav Adda says, Amr de Rav, learn the base Medrash, Tanina Delo Kirav Nachman. Our Mishnah is clearly in contradiction to what Rav Nachman said. Rav Nachman holds that Tiltu Menatzad is not allowed, and our Mishnah clearly showed that Tiltu Menatzad, Tiltu Menagov, is allowed. That we learned in our Mishnah, Hakash Gabi Hamita, you have the straw on the bed, which is the stam position is for kindling. So lo yinano biyad, you're not allowed to move with your hand because it's muktzah. However, avu minano begufo, but you can move it with your shoulders, as Rashi said. You can move it with your body. However, if it was muchon because it was animal fodder, oh shahaya Allah of Cairo, so then, or you were designating as basically as a mattress beforehand because you put your pillow and your blanket on top of it. So then minano biyad, then you're allowed to move it because it's not muktzah. Shmamina. What do you see for the first part? The tiltu minatzad, when you're moving it with your shoulder, with your body, lo shmei tiltu. We said that that's not a problem. So our Mishnah clearly holds that tiltu minatzad is allowed. And Rav Nachman clearly said that tiltu minatzad is not allowed. Shmamina. Our Mishnah clearly is going against what Rav Nachman said. Our Mishnah can't go in accord with Rav Nachman. Amar Rav Yehuda, hane pilpale, these peppers that you have. Medak, you're allowed to go chop them up, chodo chodo, one at a time. How are you allowed to chop them? You have to do it with a shinoi, bekato de sakina. You're allowed to do this with the handle of a knife. So, you know, a knife has the sharp part, it has the handle part. So you take the back part of the knife, the handle, and you go and chop it up, one at a time, shari. So take chodo chodo, you can chop it up in this way. It's two things here. One is a shinoi, it's not the normal way you chop it. You normally chop it with a chopping implement. And here you're doing it with the back part of the knife, the handle of the knife. And number two, you're doing one at a time. And normally we do multiple ones at a time. So tarti is awesome. But if you're only doing one shinoi, you're doing it with a shinoi, but you're doing more than one at a time, so then you're not allowed to do that. That's what Rehuda says. Tarti awesome. Rava disagrees, Rava Amar, no. Keep the Mishani, once you're doing a shinoi, so then you can do as many as you want. Afilu tuva nami. You did a shinoi, so therefore you're allowed to go and do this. Rashi says you're not doing this with the meducha, with the mortar and pestle, and you're not doing this with some sort of a specialized utensil, not with a rechaim, a grinding millstone of some sort, and therefore you're allowed to do this. Of course, you're doing this for Shabbos usage. You're not allowed to do this for the weekday usage. The Yom Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, Man desochi b'maya, if somebody was wet on Shabbos, they went into a river of water on Shabbos, and now they want to come out of the river. Now, a river, a lake, has the status of being a karmelis itself, and the side of that is a karmelis as well. And when a person is going to come out of the river, he's going to come out with water on his body, and he's going to go and get his towel, which is more than four amos away, so it's going to be a problem of carrying the water that's with him on his wet body. So therefore, the opinion of Rav Yehuda is that you should go linagev nafshei bereisha, dry yourself off as soon as you come out of the river, and then v'hodu lislik, and then fully go out. So stay in the river with a little bit of your body still in the river, and dry yourself off, and then go out. And this way, you won't go dilma osel asuya arba amos b'kamos, because if you come out of the river, you may come to end up walking four amos with the water on you. And that's a problem of carrying the water dalet amos. The Gemara says, if that's so, ihachi. So when you went into the river, into this lake, kikonokis, nani kadochi, kocho, arba amos yosef. So when you go into the water, so you're moving the water by jumping in, by going into this body of water. So you're pushing the water with your body. And the water is going to travel more than dalet amos. You're not allowed to cause something to be going dalet amos in the Carmelis. So why are you allowed to go in the first place? Now, this is before the gzeira that you're not allowed to go into water, take any sort of a bath on Shabbos with hot water, cold water, with any water. So this was when there's no problem of going into the river, but the problem here that we're talking about is that you're going to carry in a Carmelis. The river's a Carmelis, so also be the Rabbanan to carry there. So the water is being pushed, dalet amos, so how come you're allowed to do that? When you come out, we're concerned you're going to carry the water, dalet amos. How come you're not concerned when you go in that you're pushing the water, dalet amos? So Gemara says, no, there's a difference between pushing the water, that's an indirect type of a carrying. You're causing the water to move from here to dalet amos away, as opposed to you're actually carrying the water when you come out to dalet amos. So therefore, kocho b'karmelis, the water being pushed dalet amos when you go in. So lo gozu, the rabbis never decreed is an issur d'rabbanan. Karmelis, you're allowed to carry in d'oraisa. So this issur d'rabbanan of pushing the item more than dalet amos in the karmelis, that the rabbis didn't decree, but they were concerned that you're going to come out and carry the water. So you should dry off before you come out. This is the obvious question. What about if it's raining? How's a person allowed to walk in the rain on Shabbos? So a couple of terutzim are given by the poskim. The simplest one is that you're not carrying enough. You have to carry a significant shear in order to be overcarrying midrabbanan. The rabbis never instituted for less than the shear. Midrabbanan is pochus because shear is also. But the rabbis over here who are instituting this carrying didn't institute it in this situation. It has to be a significant shear. And alternatively, what can you do? We're not going to, the rabbis didn't say that it's also to go walk in the rain on Shabbos. So therefore, you're not intending to carry. It's a Melach Hashem Letzrich Legufa. You don't want this. You have no intention of doing so. And therefore, it's not also. Mark continues and says, Amar Abayevi Tamar Rav Yehuda. Either Rabbi or Rav Yehuda said the following. Titch Al Gabi Raglo. If you have some mud on your foot, on your shoe, Mustama, Mikancho Bekarka, you're allowed to rub it off on the ground, get the mud off your shoe. They ain't mekancho b'kosel. You're not allowed to rub the mud off on a wall. Why not? Rabbi Yehuda holds that when you're going to go and rub the mud off on the wall, it's a problem of building. You're adding mud to the wall, and it's a problem of building. And therefore, on the ground, it's not a problem of building. I'm a rubber. Rubber doesn't like this. Rubber says, my timer, b'kosel lo. Why aren't you allowed to go and rub it on the wall? Because, as I just said, mishum demersi kabona, because it looks like you're building over here. He says, what are you talking about? Ha binyan chakulahu. This is a very, very poor way of doing building. Only a very, very poor person, a chakulah, a simple person, is going to go and build in such a fashion. You're not really building by rubbing a little mud on a wall, by adding to the wall. Come on, that's not right. So therefore, Elam Rava, Rava says it's the other way around. Mekancho b'kosel, if you have this mud on your shoe, wipe it b'davko on the kosel, because there you're not doing anything wrong, because that's not really building. But don't wipe it on the ground. They makachu b'karcher, Yehuda or Abai, whoever it was, it said you can wipe it on the ground. Rabbi says, no, you can't wipe it on the ground. Why? Because when you're wiping the mud on the ground, maybe you're going to see a hole, and you're going to smooth out that hole with your mud. You're going to come and use that mud to make the ground level, and that would be a problem. So therefore, Rabbi says, pum faker, the exact opposite of Abai and Rabbi Yehuda. Abai and Rabbi Yehuda, whichever one it was, said, you bedavka wipe your shoe off on the ground and not on the wall. And Rava says the opposite. He says, bedavka, do it on the wall, but not on the ground, because you may come to do ashvei gumos. Mora says, Itmar, Mabar Idrivino said, Echazev, Echazev, Osir. He was Machmir. He says, you're not allowed to wipe it on the ground, not allowed to wipe it on the wall. He held on the wall, it's a problem of binyan, and the ground, he held it's a problem of ashvei gumos. And the Rapapa has the most makeup position. Rapapa says, Echazev, Echazev, Mutar, you're allowed to do it in both ways. Not a problem, neither one. The building isn't the real concern, and the Ashvei Gumos isn't the real concern. So he was the most makeup position. According to Marbere the Ravina, however, the Gemara says, Marbere the Ravina, B'mai M'kakele, are you supposed to leave the mud on your shoe? You're not allowed to get the mud off the shoe. What should you do? So according to Marbere the Ravina, the Gemara says, M'kakele B'kora, wipe it on some sort of a board or a beam. And this way, you have no problem of Ashri Gumos, and you have no problem of Binya, because nobody takes a beam and builds in that fashion. Now, we had a statement in the name of Rava. We'll have a bunch of other statements in the name of Rava. Amar Rava. Rava said, Lo leisiv inish apume de l'chaya. A person's not allowed to go and sit on the edge of a lechi, on the face of a lechi. A lechi is when you have a three-sided mavui, and you want to be able to carry in that area. Midaraisa, you're allowed to. Midaraban, and the rabbis were concerned that if you don't have some sort of a demarcation, you're going to walk out of that area right into the Rishus HaRabim, because there's no wall on the fourth side, and you're not going to realize where the Rishus HaYochid ends of the mavui and where the Rishus HaRabim actually starts. So therefore, you put up either a lechi or a korah. So this lechi is a vertical post. So he says, do not sit, don't lay lesiv inish, apume, on the top part, on the edge of this lechi, because dilma, what's going to happen, you're going to be carrying something, and migandra le chefetz, and that thing's going to fall from you, vasilasuye, and you're going to come and bring it back from the Rishus HaRabim, because you're right on the edge. So you're sitting in the Rishus HaYochid, and it's going to be rolling into the Rishus HaRabim, and you're going to go and get it, and you're going to have a problem of carrying from Rishus HaRabim back into Rishus HaYochid. Or if you're on the other side of the Lechi, and you're in the Rishus HaRabim, it may come roll into the Rishus HaYochid. Wherever the situation may be, where the object may fall into the other Rishus, you may come to carry. So he says, don't go and look for trouble by sitting at the very edge. Amar Rav, another ruling the Rabbi said, Yomar Rav, lo litzadit inish kuva. Don't go and take a barrel, the Bach adds the word, ba'ara, that's on the ground, and try to make sure that you're smoothing it out so it sits well into the ground. So lo litzade, don't make it move in the barrel on the ground, because dilma osi lashuvi gumos, because when you're doing this, you may see some lack of levelness on the ground, and you'll make it nice and smooth in doing so. So therefore, don't take the battle and try to force it into the ground to be stable there, because you may come to go smooth out the ground. Yama Rav, another statement the Rav said, lo li hadok inish udra bepuma deshisha. Don't go and take an udra. Udra, Rashi tells us, these are mochin, these are soft materials, shesosmin behen piapach, that you're using to close off the opening over here of this jug. Shisha, Rashi says, is a pach, this jug, and you may come in this situation, dilma osil deschit, because if you put it into this jug, you may come when you're pushing it in there to come squeeze out something from it. So if it has any moisture to it, don't go and place it there, because in your action of placing it there, you may come to go and squeeze it out. Dilma osil deschit. Amar Rav Kahana, now we have a statement in the name of Kahana. Titch al gabi bigdo, if you have mud on your clothing, so on Shabbos you're not allowed to clean, and you're not allowed to go and pick it off if it's embedded into your garment. So what should you do? You want to get this mud off. So mechaskik, so take it from the inside, not the side that has the mud on it, but the other side, the inside, the mud's on the outside of your garment. So you take the inside of your garment and you try to move it from the inside in order to get the mud off from the outside. You rub it from the inside and hopefully the mud will come off from the outside. However, they mechaskeso mibachotz, but now I go directly rub it off from the outside, that'll be a problem of libun, that you're going to, when you're wiping it off over here, people are going to say, the lo mulcha milsa lischaze kimulabe. Again, it looks too much like you're trying to whiten it, to clean it over here. Now, Malavin, Mamish, Rashi says, lo heavy. They know such a mai. In order to really be cleaning it, you need to put on water. You're not putting on water. So it wouldn't be real Malavin, but it looks like Malavin, if only rub it from the inside, when it's not evident to anybody that you're trying to get off mud on the outside. So therefore, you can do it from the inside, but don't do it from the outside. More questions. This horse is Maisri. Wait a second. There's a price that it says, Titcha Gabi Minolo, if you have some mud, some clay on your shoe, Megaro Begav Sakin, you are allowed to go take the back of a knife, Gav of a Sakin, and scrape off the mud that's on your shoe. Vishal Bigdo, and even if you have mud on your clothing, Megaro Bitsiparin, you're allowed to go and take your fingernail and scrape it off with your fingernail. However, but you have to be very careful not to rub the garment. Now, here it says you're not allowed to rub the garment. Rav Kahana, you said you are allowed to rub the garment from the inside. This Bryce seems to say you're not allowed to rub the garment at all, inside, and certainly not outside. So that's the worst question. My lab, when it says here in this Bryce, you're not allowed to rub. My lab, shloi chaskes klai, you can't rub on the outside and not even on the inside. Kash against Rav Kahana, someone says, lo, no. Shloi chaskes, the Bryce says, mi bachutz, you're not allowed to go and rub it when you're doing it from the outside. However, elami bifnim, from the inside, like Rav Kahana said, you are allowed to do this. Gemara continues and says, I'm Rabbi Avo, I'm Rabbi Elazar, I'm Rabbi Yannai. Rabbi Avo said, I'm Rabbi Elazar, said, I'm Rabbi Yannai. Megarin min chodosh, avalo yish yoshon. You're allowed to go and scrape off, rub off any mud that's on your shoe, but only from a new shoe, but not from an old shoe. Rashi says, shakofa, because you're going to wipe off some of the leather, tamim machik, and you're smoothing out the leather, and that would be a problem. We turn to the Amud Beis. Gemara says, "Bamei Megaro." And how are you allowed to wipe off, scrape off the mud from this new shoe? Amar Yavo, he says, "Begav Sakin." You go take the back of the knife. That's allowed. Gemara says that's not right. Omulei Hausaba, there was an older man. Now we often say that this is Eliyahu Novi. So he said to Rabbi Yavohu, "Same didoch mikameha." Go and get rid of this brisa that you just brought down and replace it instead with this one. Same didoch, take away your brisa from in front of you and mikameha detoni Rabbi Chiya, and instead insert the brisa that Rabbi Chiya taught. What did Rabbi Chiya say? Ain megarin, you're not allowed to go and rub, scrape off the mud. Lo mino chadash, lo mino yosha. Not only from an old shoe, but you're not even allowed to do it from a new shoe, like you just said. Furthermore, v'lo yosuch esraglushem, and you're not allowed to go and put oil on your foot while it's in the shoe. Hu b'toch hamino o b'soch hasandal. While you're wearing a shoe or a sandal, you can't put oil on your foot because you're going to impact the leather of the shoe with your oiling, you're tanning it or you're cleaning it in some way, and you're not allowed to do that. But what can you do? Avosochis raglo shemen, you are allowed to go and anoint your foot before you put it into the shoe. So put some oil on your foot before you put it into the shoe, and then miniach besoch hamino or besoch sandal, and you can put your shoe, your foot into the shoe or into the sandal, and if some of the oil goes off in the leather in that situation, that wasn't your intention, and you're allowed to do this. V'soch kol gufo shemen, and you're allowed to go and put oil all over your body, u'mis'agel agabi katavlaya, and then go and lie down and roll on a katavlaya. Rashi says this is or shaluk, this is a cooked hide, sha'osim imenu mishtachos l'shulchan u'lemita, and you're going to eventually make this into some sort of a covering for either your table or your bed. This is allowed also, v'enuchoshis, you're not concerned over here that you're actually putting the oil on either the shoe or the leather or on this hide in all of these situations because you put it on your body first and then you're putting it in. Amar Chissa says, however, in this brisa, lo shonu elu letzatzicho, that which we said, you're allowed to do this only if your intention was to go and letzatzicho means to make it shine, to polish it in some way. Then you're allowed to do this. Avoli abdo, but if your intention is to go and actually tan this hide, so then also you're not allowed to do this even though you first put the oil on your body. And when the Brisa said that that's allowed, it's only if you did it for the purposes of this hide, to polish or to shine this hide, and not to tan this hide. Mor says, really? La abdo pshita. Of course you're not allowed to tan it. And furthermore, v'su, letzachziko miyikum andeshari. You're not allowed to put it on, even if it's to shine it, even if it's to polish it. Both of them are not allowed to be done. So if that's your intention, you're not allowed to do either one. So Mor says, you're right. Elo yit mar hochi yit mar. If Rav Chisda made his statement, this is what Rav Chisda said. Amar Rav Chisda, lo shanu ela shiur letzachziko. That which we said that you can go and put oil on your body and then go and roll on this katavlaya, that's only if you only had a limited amount of oil, enough oil on your body that would only be able to polish, to shine such a hide. Lo shanu ela shiur letzachziko. So if you only put that smaller amount of oil in your body, then you can go lie down on this katavlaya. Avol shiur la'abdo, but if you had so much oil in your body that it would actually function to tan the hide, then also, then you wouldn't be allowed to do this, even though you put it first on your body. Gemara says, Tana Rabbanu, we bring down the following braisa, lo yetzei katan b'min al godol. A katan, a smaller person, doesn't mean a person under the age of bar mitzvah, it means a smaller person cannot go out on Shabbos. He shouldn't go out, odom katan, Rashi says, b'min al shu godolo, with a too large a size shoe. Why? Mishum, Rashi says, the no film iraglo, it's going to fall off from your foot, and you don't want it to lose it, v'asul asuyin, you're going to come to carry it, daladamos in the shusarabim, or carry it wherever you are. You're not allowed to do that if there's no erev. So that is what a katan, a smaller person, shouldn't wear a larger person's shoes because they're going to fall off. However, a smaller person, avayotziu b'cholukodlo, can wear a very large shirt because he's not going to take off the shirt, it doesn't fall off, and if he says, well, I'm uncomfortable, I look like a fool wearing this very large shirt, he's not going to take it off because he's going to be naked. So therefore, there's no concern that he'll come and take it off and carrying it. So the shoe, we are concerned, he'll come to carry it, but the larger garment, we're not concerned, he'll come to take it off. Furthermore, the Brisa says, lo seitze isha bimin al merupa. A woman isn't allowed to go out, but dafka, a woman over here, to go out with some sort of a shoe that's merupa. Rashi says it means karua milamala, it's ripped on the top, and the gnaihula, this is embarrassing for her to go out with such a torn shoe, the chichaykei ala, and everybody's going to laugh at her, so she's going to take it off. Shalfa umaisla. She doesn't want to lose it. It's an expensive shoe, so she'll fix it, and she'll take it home and fix it. She'll carry it to Alanamos. And therefore, you're not allowed to go out with such a torn shoe. The little tachlutzba, and likewise, this type of a shoe is not good for chalitza, at least not lechatchila. However, if after the fact she did chalitza with such a torn shoe, chalitza k'shera. Such a torn shoe is good. Tosos points out in the top Tosos, he says, Amai gazrino in beperek mitzvah chalitza minol otu minol merupa. There we said you shouldn't use a certain type of minol because you may come to use a torn minol. And if you're saying now that a torn minol is good b'di'evid, why would they make a zera? Because even b'di'evid it would be good. So Tosus explains that there are different types of tears. So if it's such a torn shoe that it wouldn't be good for chalitza, that's when it's ein chofer rov raglo. It's so torn that it doesn't cover most of the foot. That's not good even b'di'evid for a chalitza. But if it's only torn a little bit, so it's a g'nai for the woman to wear it, with concern she'll take it off, but b'di'evid, the chalitza would be good. That's why our Brisa says, im chalitza chalitza k'shera, if this somewhat torn but not totally torn shoe is actually performed using it a chalitza, it would be good b'di'evid. Gemara continues and says, you're not allowed to go out with a new shoe on Shabbos. Who's not allowed to go out with a new shoe on Shabbos? What type of a new shoe are we talking about? A woman wearing a new shoe, because we're concerned. Tani Bar Kapara says, Lo Shanu El Shal Yotza Bo Shaw Achas Mi Bo Yom. When do we say a woman can't go out with a new shoe? When she didn't wear it at all before Shabbos started. And Rashi explains, because in this situation we're concerned that if the woman goes out, she's going to be makpedes in eno mechuvon lemidas ragla. If it doesn't fit her perfectly and allow her to walk in a nice sort of a way, we're concerned she's going to come and take it off. But if she already wore it before Shabbos, abo yotzebo me erev Shabbos mutter. Why in this situation? Rashi explains, because hikirabo de mechuvon hola. She's going to see that it fits nicely, it allows her to walk nicely, and also eno makpedes, and she's not going to be concerned in this situation that it doesn't make her look good, it doesn't fit her well when she walks, and therefore it's mutter for her to go out with this new shoe, as long as she wore it a little bit before Shabbos, so she can basically take care of the concern that we might have had with the minhag chadash, that it doesn't fit so well, it doesn't make her look so good, and therefore she may come to take it off. If she already wore it before Shabbos, she'll know that that's true or not true. So before Shabbos, she'll take it off and won't wear it, or she says it fits okay, she'll wear it before Shabbos a little bit, we're not concerned that she'll take it off on Shabbos. Now we have two brises that seem to be contradictory. Tani Chodah, the first brise says, Shomtim min omeyal imus. Now the gears that we have is imus. On the side it says it should be imum, with the mem sophis instead of the samach at the end. In any event, it says, you're allowed to take off this minol, the shoe, meal imum, or imus, from the form that the shoemaker makes the shoe on. Now, this is something that would be muktzah. It's a specialized type of a kli, this form, and it normally has no purpose on Shabbos, and therefore, to move it would be muktzah. So when you're taking the shoe off it, you're going to move it. So the Braisa first says, you are allowed to take this minol from this form. Rashi says, imus is form, which means what it does in English. The Tanida, another Braisa says, ain't something, you're not allowed to take it off. So the two Braisas are contradictory. One says, lo kasha, it's not a problem, because they're two different opinions. Ha Rabbi Eliezer, ha Rabbanon. The opinion that says that you're allowed to take it off, that's Rabbi Eliezer. The opinion says, you're not allowed to take it off, that's the opinion of the Chachamim. Why is that? It's not, because we learned in the Mishnah, the Mishnah in Kalim, where it tells us, minol sha'al gabi imus, you have this minol, you have a shoe that's on top of this form, so Rabbi Eliezer is matar. Rabbi Eliezer says, it's not this shoe is not yet a kli, and therefore, it is not capable of being kabel tumah, and therefore, if it's not a kli, so you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. And the Chachamim say that it is Tameh. I think I mixed it up a minute ago. I said that the opinion was Ein Shomtim, that you're not allowed to take it off as a Chachamim. No, the opinion you're not allowed to take it off because it's not a Kli, it's Muktzah. That would be the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. And the Chachamim would say you're allowed to take it off. The Chachamim say that it's Matameh because it's a Kli. But if it's a Kli, already the shoe, if it's not fully formed, if it's a Kli, so then you're allowed to go and take it off because it's not Muktzah. Now, that's how you answer this question. So Gemara says, "Hani chalur Rava." This works out very well according to Rava. What did Rava say? The Omar Rava, the Omar Dover Shemelachto leIsser, something that is, we learned this previously, something that's a kli shemelachto leIsser, like this form, it's a kli. So he says, "Bein letzarach gufo, bein letzarach makomo, it's mutter. You aren't allowed to use it except for if you need itself to do something." Now, there's no reason you need this form over here, but you need its makomo, you need its place, so therefore, you need this place, so you're allowed to go move the shoe from it and use this place, move this whole thing, and therefore, Rabbi would say, I understand why the Chacham say that it's allowed to be moved. The Braisa that it says, you're allowed to shomtim minom al imus, that's allowed. But, Shapi. That works out very well. El Abaye, but according to Abaye, who says that a klisha b'lachta l'iser, if you need the hammer, you'll have to go bang the walnuts with it, so you'll have to use the kli for its usage itself. However, Abaye had said previously, the tzorach makom was also, you're not allowed to move it for its place. So here you're moving it for its place. How you'll have to do this, Michael Meimar, according to Abaye, you shouldn't be allowed to do this according to the Chachamim. Or says, you know what we're talking about? The shoe is not on very tightly, and therefore you can remove the shoe here without having to remove, move this imus at all. And therefore, that's why you can take it off, because you're not moving it. So it's only dealing when it's on very loosely. The Tanya, as it says, Beferish, in the Brisa, Rav Yehuda Omer, Im Hoya Rafi Mutter, if it is loosely on, so then you're allowed to take off the shoe because you're not moving this form in any way. Now, this is such a good proof that we now say this proof to Abaye is a kasha going to be on Rava. So, Taima, the Rafui, the only reason Rav Yehuda allowed you to move it over here was because it is loosely on. Ha lo Rafui, lo. Implication being that if it was tighter on, it wasn't loosely on, it was tighter on, when you remove the shoe, you're going to move the imus and you're not allowed to do that. So now, honey, Abaye, this works out great to Abaye, who says that Eklisha Malata Lisser, the Amar Dovish Malata Lisser, Letzorch Gufo Mutra, Letzorch Makomo, is usser. So, according to Abaye, everything here works out very, very well, because it's exactly his shita. If it's on tight, so you're not using it for its guf, that would be the only time you'd be allowed to move it. For its makom, you're not allowed to move it. Oh, Shapir, Rav Yehuda's qualification is perfectly correct. However, according to Rava, we have a problem. According to Rava, we have a bigger problem here, because he says you're allowed to move it both Letzorach Gufo and Letzorach Makomo. So why would Rav Yehuda have to say that it has to be Rafui? Even if it's not Rafui, you should be allowed to move it because it's a Letzorach Makomo. So Kasha now on Rava. We turn the tables. This was originally a proof to Rava and a Kasha on Abaye. Now we turned it around and made it a proof to Abaye and a Kasha on Rava. My ear, you're Rafui. Why did Rav Yehuda say that it must be Rafui? I feel a Rafui Nami. According to Rava, even if it wasn't Rafui, you should be allowed to be removed. So Gemara says, no, this statement of Rav Yehuda, he answers, Hayi, the Rabbi Yehuda, was only said Bishum de Rabbi Eliezer, who, this was only said according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you are allowed to remove this shoe, because the shoe is Matame, it's capable of Mekabel Tumah, because it's a Kli. And therefore, according to him, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're only allowed to remove it if it's Rafui. The Tanya, as we stated in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bishum Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Rabbi Eliezer, Im Hoya Rafui Mutter, it's only allowed to be taken off if it's not on tightly. Then, in this situation, the shoe is considered a kli, and you're allowed to go take it off from the imus, and if you do move it, it's not a big deal. Hadron lechatolin, hadron lechatolin, hadron lechatolin. With this, we conclude the 20th parak, and yes, it's Hashem, we start now the 21st parak, which begins as follows. The Mishnah starts and says, no till Adam has been no, v'evin b'yado, a person is allowed to pick up his son, and even though his son has a rock in his hand, you're not over for moving the muktzah rock. We're not concerned about carrying here. Rashi says we're in a chotzer, so it's allowed to carry. So the problem isn't the carrying. The problem is you're carrying a muktzah rock. So you're carrying your son who's carrying the rock. We don't consider you carrying the rock. So no to love this, but no, even though the Evan B'yodah. Likewise, you're allowed to pick up a basket, the chalkola, the Evan B'socha. This basket is allowed to be carried even though it has a rock that smokes inside of it. Mar will explain why. Likewise, a person is allowed to move truma that is tmeya im tahora. As long as there's some tahora truma over there, even though there's tmeya truma, which tmeya truma on Shabbos is of absolutely no value, because even though sometimes truma tmeya is allowed to be burned, on Shabbos you can't burn it. So this is absolutely muktzah. So all of these situations are, you're allowed to carry something which you're permitted to carry, even though by doing so, you're carrying something that is muktzah at the same time. That's what all of these situations are. Or likewise, if you have truma im chulin, so the truma tmeya with chulin, you're allowed to go carry it again, because you have over here something that is allowed to be carried, so even though you're going to carry, as a result, something that's not allowed to be carried because it's muktzah, you're allowed to do so. Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda adds on, and he says, you're also allowed to af malin es hameduma bi'echad umeya. Meduma is when you have a mixture of truma and chulin. So normally, the truma is not going to be nullified unless you have 100 against it. So we view the whole thing normally as being truma. That's midirabbanim. Midiraisa, it's batel barov. Midirabbanim, we said you need 100 against it. But what happens when you do have 100 against it? So you had one piece of truma and 100 of chulin. So this truma is technically batel, and all 101 pieces are now able to be eaten as chulin. But the rabbi said, we don't want the coin to lose out. So therefore, we make you take out one of these pieces and give it to the coin. You know, technically, that's not Truma, they're all Cholin, but we, I don't say the word Kansa, but we make sure that the Kohen doesn't lose out, and we make you give one of them to the Kohen. So therefore, you're allowed to go and remove this piece, which now allows you to eat the other 100 pieces that are there. So it's a little bit like your mafrish truma. It looks a little bit like you're being mafrish truma. You're giving this one piece to the Kohen, and now you can eat the other 100 pieces. So Yehuda says, that's allowed. That's not a problem. You're not called masakin money in this situation. Gemara starts off and says, Amar Rava. Rava teaches us the following. Hotzi tinok chai, v'kis toli b'tzavaro. If a person were to carry out his child in Rosh Hashanah, so we'll see in a moment why it's not a problem of carrying the child. So he's carrying this child, but there's a kiss toli b'tzavaro. He has some sort of a purse that's hanging around his neck. So there's a problem with carrying the purse. So that's what Rava says. Chayev mishum kiss. You're not chayev for the child, but you're chayev for carrying the kiss. But nebuchadnezzar, tinok meis, if you're carrying a dead child, the kiss toli lo b'tzavaro, and it has the purse around its neck, Rava says you're potter in this situation. You're not supposed to do this, but it's not an issa deraisa. So Rava has a difference over here between a live child with the purse around its neck and a nebuch dead child with the purse around its neck. So let's analyze this. Mor says tinok chai v'kis toli lo b'tzavaro chai mishum kiss. The first statement, Rava, what, that you're chayiv not for the child, but you're only chayiv for the kids. So Gemara says, "But chayiv not mishum tinok. Why aren't you chayiv for carrying the child?" So Gemara says, "Rava, ki Rabbi Nosson sirulei." We had this earlier in the Masechta. That Rava holds like the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson says, "Dama chay nosias atzmo," that a live person is never considered something that is carried because the person can always carry himself. Chay nosias atzmo. So therefore, on a deraisa level, you wouldn't be chayiv for carrying the child, and that's why Rava said you're only chayiv for carrying the purse. Gemara says, so why don't we say, once you're allowed to carry the child, so why don't we say that the kiss is subordinate to the child, and therefore you shouldn't be chayav for the kiss either. After all, milotnan, after all, we learned in the Mishnah, early in the Masechta, esachai b'mito, we said, if a live person is carried out in a bed, because of this principle of chay nosei esatzmo, you're potter, not only for carrying the live person, aval amita, even for carrying the bed. Shamita tvelo, because the mita is subordinate, the bed is subordinate to this live person. So why don't we say the same thing over here, that the purse should be subordinate to this live child, you're allowed to carry the child, therefore you can carry the purse too. So Gemara says, no, there's a difference. Mito legabi chai mevatlile. The bed is totally subordinate to the person lying on it. However, kis legabi tinok lo mevatlile. But this purse has nothing to do with the child. And therefore, it's not bottle, it's not subordinate to the child. And therefore, Rava says, you're chai for carrying the purse. Then Rava's second statement, tinok meis, if nebuch, if the child is dead, v'chis toli lo b'tzavor, potter, then you're not chayiv for the dead baby, and you're not chayiv for the purse as well. So Gemara says, v'l chayiv mishum tinok, at least be chayiv for the tinok. So the Gemara says, no, Rava ki Rabbi Shimon's relay. Here he holds like Rabbi Shimon. What did Rabbi Shimon say? Rashi points out, malacha she'ino tzricha l'gufa. This is a malacha she'ino tzricha l'gufa. You don't need this child, nebuch. You don't want the child outside, you just don't want the child inside. The carrying of the child is not important for itself, and therefore the things that are attached to it, Rashi says, the kisha yatoli b'tzavaro, l'sachikbo, agav more, mevatulei legabi tinok shemes. So this is subordinate to the child, v'lo choshev lehayi shaita, and it's not considered significant at this point in time. You're only carrying it out there because that's what the child was wearing or playing with at the time. And I didn't read the Gemara. That's what Gemara says. The Amar kol malachosh in a tzricha l'gufa patur le. This is not necessary here, and therefore the carrying of the child, the dead child, is a malachosh in a tzricha l'gufa, and the kiss is subordinate to the child in this situation. Gemara says, Tanah, we learned in the Mishnah, no telodim es bino v'yavim yodo. Our Mishnah said that you're allowed to carry the child out. Again, our Mishnah is not talking about a problem with carrying; it's in a chotzer. So we're talking about the problem with muktzah. So no till odim is beno for evan biyado. Our Mishnah said that you're allowed to carry the child with the rock in his hand. Now, that seems to go against Rava. Rava said that you're chayiv for the kiss. So why wouldn't you be chayiv for the rock? So Amidir Raviyane, they send the base medish of Raviyanai, betinok sheishlo giaguin al odim. We're talking here about the child has, he misses his father very much. This child is being carried out, and therefore he's missing his father, and they give him this rock to somehow remind him of his father, and therefore it is considered subordinate to the child. As Rashi says, the last Rashi, Shim lo yidlena yichle, if the child doesn't carry this rock, he's somehow going to get sick. Lo hamidu tiltu, shlo biyadayim, b'mokhm sakana. And since this would be a sakana for the child, the rabbis instituted that you're carrying this muktzah item, because you're carrying it indirectly in this situation. It's not really pikuach nefashos. El sakana scholi, the child's going to feel bad. So nevertheless, the rabbis allowed it. Gemara says, ihochi, if this is the case, we turn to Yom Aleph, I hear you, Evan. Why is it only a rock? I feel you should be allowed to carry the child even if he's holding on to a coin. So Alma, Aloma Amar Rava, why did Rava then say, Lo Shanu Elo Eden? Rava said this is only allowed with the stone, Avodina Asa, but you're not allowed to carry the child if he's carrying a coin. So Gemara says, no, that's easy to answer. Eden, a stone, if this rock falls to the ground, the father will say, don't worry about it, we have a million rocks. So therefore, he's not going to come to pick it up. However, dinar, if the kid drops a dinar, so inofil, if it falls down, the father is going to go bedavka and pick it up. And we have a braisa, it says exactly this. Tanya kavosi the rabba. The braisa is totally supporting what Rava just said. What's the braisa? If a person carries out, hamotzi kelev, the person carries out his clothing. If he carries it out, mikufolim, it's folded up, umunoch maksefo, he carries it out folded up on his shoulders, or he's carrying in his hand, the sandlo v'taboso biyodo, he's carrying them in his hand, so chayev, of course, this is an iser. Now, if the person's wearing his clothing, then it's potter. Of course, he's going to be potter. Of course, you're allowed to wear the clothing, as Rashi says. They're batel to you. They're part of your body. The begod of batel legabe. They're part of him. They're subordinate to him. You're not chayev for carrying when you're wearing your clothing. However, hamotzi odom, if you carry out a person, the kelev olav, and that person is wearing his clothing, the sandlov biraglov, and he has his shoes, his sandals on his feet, the tabosa biyodo, and the ring is on his ring finger, so also you're potter in that situation because they're bottled to that person. However, v'ilu hotzion kimoshein, but if you have to carry out the clothing that that person is carrying on his back, on his shoulders, so then you'd be chayev. In this situation, it's no different than if you're carrying them out directly, you're carrying them out that person, and that person, the clothing, he's carrying them, so they're not subordinate to him in that situation. That's exactly what Rava said. Tanya kavosi de Rava. We have a raya to what Rava said. With that, we conclude today's shir.